And God, on this day of all the days that we celebrate in your house, this one bears much meaning, much significance. It is the day that you got up. It is the day that you fulfilled every prophetic promise. God, you made it come alive. And so, God, we gather in this place and we're kind of, Lord, sort of like those who were in and around Jerusalem. We're kind of like those who aren't really sure, but sure like to know, is it real? Is he the one? That's the question, Lord, they would ask about you. Is he the one? And Lord, when you got up that day, it proved that you were indeed the one. And so, God, in this moment that we have come to worship you as the one, King, Savior, Messiah, Shiloh has come. So, God, would you make us steadfast and allow us to creep in a little closer. God, would you allow us in our spiritual imaginations the privilege of Thomas? We can put our fingers in the holes, touch you in your side, and see for ourselves that you are alive. And God, they write a little song here that simply says, because you live, we can face our tomorrows. Because you live, all of our fears are gone. And then, Lord, there's that one part that I really love. It says, because you hold the future, my Lord. My right now is pretty good, Lord, but I know my tomorrow is going to be even better. And so, God, I thank you that we are secure. Now, God, would you again speak to us and allow us to hear your voice? Please, God, settle everything down and let us hear you. We need a word. And that word must come from you. Speak to us, sir, we pray. And God, forgive us my sins and have mercy on us. We came in from all walks of life, different but the same. We need a word. And God, really just one word would probably turn it all around for some of us. So let that one word fall in peace, uninhibited by the mundane things of life. We can forget about the bills for a minute. We can forget about the troubles of this world and catch that word, a rhema word, a fresh word, a life-changing word, only from you, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some praise together. We're going to move right along. Come on, wake up now. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless him, bless him. Amen, amen, amen. John 20, please, if you will. If you have your Bibles, smartphones, tablets, Apple device, Android device, Kindle, Fire Stick, whatever you have, if you'll go to your Bible app, New Living Translation, King James, New King James, Message, Contemporary, NIV, whatever your version, whatever you like, John 20, if you will, please. When you get to John 20, If you'll come down, beloved of God, to verse 11, John 20, verse 11. And we bless God for you today. If you're standing near someone that doesn't have a Bible, doesn't have a smartphone, a tablet, would you let them look on your version with you so we can all be together on one accord? If you don't have a Bible, there's a red book there in front of you. It's in the pew. It's a, we've gone from red now. It's a different color. What color is that book now? Is it brown? Brown Bible, real fancy Bible. Amen. You can grab that and use it. In John 20. Amen. If you don't know where John 20 is, there's somebody standing by you that'll help you. Amen. Amen. We're not in a hurry, but we're going to move right along. John 20, beginning at verse 11. Eric, this is what it says today from the New Living Translation. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. Thank you so much, everybody. God bless you. Amen. As we're getting in position to sit with our families and friends and stuff like that. Amen. Very good. Very good. Not going to take up much of your time because, as the young folk will say nowadays, it is what it is. Amen. And so I want to lift up, if you just bear with me, I love preaching, and I just want to do a little bit of it. But in the verse that I read to you, it's really the story. It's the whole story. It simply says in verse 12, the body of Jesus had been lying. I've got some educators here. God bless you today. Mrs. McKenzie, Deacon Davis, Sister Kara Scott, Sister Patricia Price. Who else? Sister Anderson, an educator. Who else is an educator? And I don't want to leave nobody out. Sister Laura, I don't know why I was just so calm and quiet, but an educator, you know, I leave her out a lot. And anybody else, I don't want to leave you out. But all my educators will tell you that the word had, H-A-D, is a past tense, which means, where Miss Scott at over there? Him ain't there no more. Some of us can relate to had because there was a time when we had money. There was a time when we had hair. There was a time when we had teeth. There was a time when we had a husband or had a wife or had. Had means it's gone. Some things that are gone, we don't want them to come back anyway. In famous words of Ray Charles, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more. And he meant it and said no more, no more. But had, in this case, is good news. Had in John 20 at verse 12 is good news. Because had fulfills the prophecy and the promise of Jesus. Jesus reminded us that nobody could take his life, but he was willing to give his life. Jesus said, if you would tear down this temple, this tabernacle, this body, in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Oftentimes, Deacon Campbell in the church, they misunderstand the dialogue with Jesus because they thought Jesus was talking about their magnificent edifice, and they mumbled and said to themselves, it took us 40 years. Took us a long time to put this up, and how dare he even suggest he'll tear it down, but then to say he can put it back in 3 days. And sometimes that's where we are in the church, even on Resurrection Sunday. We misunderstand Jesus. We misunderstand how the things of God don't work like the things of man. There's a free shout right there for you, because some of you are living testimonies that if man's process had ruled the day,
God help you. But God always does things like only God can do. That's why we sing that song, Can't Nobody Do You Like Jesus. Somebody ought to shout back at me. I know that's right, Reverend. Yeah, because Mary is in a bad state of mind. Inasmuch as she has gone to perform the ritual, the duties of a friend, she's feeling some kind of bad about it. There are two different mindsets, if not three, that are taking place within the disciples at this present time. One mindset says, did he not say that he would get up? And has it not been the 3 days hence? And then the other mindset is that he's dead now. And everything he said has been canceled with his death. He's dead, and we saw him die. And so now what Jesus has said to us has gone by the wayside. And if not the third mindset is we just don't know what to do. Some of you know how that is. But Mary does something here that I like. Brother Addison, she goes. And I'm convinced of God that she's uneasy about going, but she goes. Let me drive along through here very quickly and say this to you. Whatever you do, if you're uneasy, uncertain, unsure, just go. Amen. Because if you walk with the Lord, yeah, you didn't think I'd send you off by yourself, did you? If you walk with the Lord, oh, how many know that God can do some things along your journey? Yeah, just walking with God changes everything. When you walk with him and talk with him along your narrow way, God will do some things. You ought to nudge somebody and say, I know that's right, because he done some things. Yeah, some of us set out once, twice in life thinking we're going to strike out on our own, and God tapped us on the shoulder and said, Lord, I'm with you always. I know you're uneasy. Some of you moved to a new town. Some of you took up an occupation. Some of you gave in marriage and was taken in marriage. Some of you have just put yourself out there for God. You were uneasy, uncertain, and unsure, but you were not unaccompanied. She's uneasy. She goes and she came to do what was right. There's my second leap-off point here. I want to say to you, Brother McKenzie, some of y'all would sure do a whole lot better if y'all just set out to do what's right. No need of looking at me with that tone of voice. I'm trying to help you, because a whole lot of us have missed opportunities that have been used by God because we would not set out simply to do what's right. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying some of y'all messed it up because you were going out to get recognition. You were going out to get praise of man. You were going out to be seen of men, and when the thing didn't go right, you sucked your teeth and went on back home. But I'm telling you today that if you just start out to do right, two of y'all agree with me. She's just doing what's right. And notice this now. I will tell you that oftentimes when you set out to do what's right, you got to go it alone. Yeah. Sometimes the crowd will thin out when it comes to just doing what's right, and when there's no glory in it for you. Am I preaching right along through here? She wasn't going to get no glory. She just wanted to do what was right. And when she goes to do it, depending on what version you read, there are four different writers that give us these particular stories, but she does not do it that they can say, oh, look at old Mary. Isn't that nice? Mary doing right by Jesus. No, it's in her heart to do what's right. Some of us need to work on our hearts. She goes and she does what's right. And what happens is that when she arrives, she does not find what she expected to find. Third point here. Please understand, God will do some stuff that will blow your mind. God will have you in ordinary places and do extraordinary things. I know it's got to be a witness in here about that. So, some of you have gone and said to yourself, I know I ain't going to get this job. I know they ain't going to call me back for an interview. And before you got to the bottom stair, they said, excuse me, ma'am. They want to see you upstairs. Some of you are working in places that your degree don't even cover. Some of you have been extraordinarily blessed in ordinary places because God has looked on your life and saw righteousness. Some of you have been done dirty, but God turned that thing around because you had righteous intentions and trusted God would do an extraordinary thing in ordinary places. And watch this now, Deacon Anderson. Mary is in a cemetery. Question I would ask of you today, beloved of God, is what do you expect to find in a cemetery but dead folk? Am I right about it? I've given my family instruction when I die and y'all leave the cemetery, don't come back out there no more. You come out there talking to me and sitting by my grave with no lawn chair and talking about, I just want to go talk to Dad. I can't hear you. And I don't want to think my family crazy. Don't be coming back out there. Y'all done me in. Go on, spend the money. Go on and do what you're going to do. Because God knows if I can haunt you, I'm coming. No, it's a cemetery, Deacon Campbell. There's only dead people in the cemetery. I don't go to cemetery. I don't go to cemeteries. I've gotten in trouble about that, and I'll just take that. But I'm telling you now, the Bible says that Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Ain't no praise in the cemetery. I'll tell you right now, when you die, you is dead. You ain't got to worry about Leroy walking over your headstone, all that old superstitious stuff about which way you walk in the cemetery. Don't walk at all. Amen. When I drive by the cemetery, I look the other way. I've lost my way, y'all. No, I'm just kidding. So here it is. Here it is. She goes. That's what she was expecting to find. But God has a way of doing extraordinary things in ordinary places. And so she runs into the groundskeeper and simply says, where is he? Where is he? What have you done with him? And notice how she begins to negotiate out of her concern. She said, listen, whatever you've done with him and wherever you put him, just tell me and I'll go get him. I like that about Mary. And I put a little note here saying, boy, that's a preaching story right there. And then I put another note out there and said, but that ain't where you're going. But she's agonized. Listen, let me help you along through here. The pain, Rudy, of separation is a pain unlike any other pain you'll ever have in your life. Some of us have been there. Some of us have lost people who were very dear to us. And I don't care what nobody say. You can't tell me how to feel about it. You can't tell me about it. I ought to be over it by now. You can't tell me about it. After a while, you're going to feel better. You can't tell me about that. Pain of separation. And it matters to Mary what they've done with him. Yeah, he may be dead, but what you do with him? One of my favorite movies, Dr. Dixon, is a movie called Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman plays the part of Ned. And they're going down to set things right in this little bohick town. You know, some women have been done dirty. And Clint is coming out of, his name is William Money. I'm going to hurry along. His name is William Money. They come out of retirement. They old gangsters. They old cowboy. They old now. They got arthritis and taking high blood pressure medicine, stuff like that. And they come out of retirement because they believe in the honor and dignity of a woman. You know, they want to go set things right. And so when they go, you know, the story unfolds. Some of y'all go look at the movie tonight. They make a good movie. Don't miss it. But anyway, there's a part where Ned is captured by the posse. And little Bill does Ned right dirty. Little Bill beats Ned. Try to make him tell a story, you know, beats him. And Ned winds up dead. And so William Money and the kid out there waiting for the money to come. And they thinking Ned done gone on back home because Ned got tired. Ned said, you know, I'm too old for this. Sally Two Shoes is waiting for me. I need to go on back home to my wife. And Clint's wife is dead. So he said, well, you going back to Sally Two Shoes? And y'all didn't see the movie. Y'all need to catch up. And anyway, I got this going to make sense. And so Ned is supposed to be going back home. And so when the girl brings the money, William Money said, well, we're going to split it up with Ned. And she said, Ned dead. And William Money said, no, Ned ain't dead. She said, Ned is dead. And he said, Ned gone home. And she said, no, Ned is dead. She said, what happened to him? She said, little Bill killed him. They beat him up and killed him. And boy, he went to drinking. But anyway, he goes to town and he kills up everybody. And on the way out of town, Rudy, he looks at them and said, y'all better bury Ned right. Y'all missed it. Mary is saying the same thing. Whatever y'all did with it, y'all better do him right. He don't deserve to be stolen away. He doesn't deserve to not have a decent burial. I know what Joseph did. Joseph gave him the tomb. Why would you steal him away? But how many know sometimes you need a second look? Mary is upset. Her pain of separation, her pain of his absence is strangely agonizing to her. He's not there, but he's got to be somewhere. Mary probably remembered that he said he'd never leave us and he wouldn't forsake us. Mary probably remembered that he said, I'm going to be all right. I'm coming back. She's looking for Jesus. Melvin saw it. He caught it. I heard him go, she's looking for Jesus. Here's the kick in the head. Some of y'all came to church this morning and you ain't even looking for Jesus. Oh, don't roll your eyes and cuss me like that. You know he's alive. She thinks he's dead. She goes looking for a dead man. You don't even have it in your heart to come looking for a live man. Based on their response, I'm dead on. Come to church for all the wrong reasons. Walk around here singing, oh, I want to see him. No, you got to have a desire to see him. Look how quiet you are. Saying, Reverend, I just come to church because it's church time. No, Christ is church. Come see Jesus. And I'm wondering today who's still looking for him. Remember that old song we sang, said, I'm looking for my Jesus. Way out. Yeah, y'all got him, man. I'm looking. That song used to set the church on fire. Yes, sir, them old sisters of a healthy weight proportion would start moving around in the church. Say, I'm looking for my Jesus. And then the old deacon start beating down a little bit. We don't have church like that no more. But God knows we show up. Because if we get back to looking for Jesus, we'll treat each other different. We'll be nicer to each other. We'll be more caring and concerned for each other. Look what looking for Jesus did for the disciples. The Bible says she runs back. Said, y'all got to come check something out. And the Bible said they got quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because they were looking for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We move too slow in the church. Too lethargic. We got to pump people up. Get y'all to look for Jesus. Oh, look how they're looking at me from up here. We have this attitude that if everything ain't right in front of us, it's too much trouble to go any further. But she has a desire. Ask your neighbor, what's your desire? Yeah. There's a desire to find him. And then here it is. We go home now. Here it is. She has enough energy, even in her pain, even in her uncertainty, to go further. She says, sir, listen, I'll go look for him. And before she can begin her search and recovery mission, he steps up. That's why Mama was right when she said, he may not come when you want him, but he's always. God, I wish I had a praying church. But before Mary can go any further in her agony, in her pain, Jesus steps up. And I like this part. Bob said, Deacon Campbell, that she turned around and said, teacher. She shouted it. The Bible says she shouted. And Jesus said, look here, you got to let me go now. Don't hold on to me, because I've got some father business to take care of. I got to go see my daddy. And he said, but this what you do. Don't look for me anymore by yourself. Go get my boys. How many of y'all ever had to say, go get my boys? Yeah, you look like a go get my boys kind of fella. Yeah, you go get my boys. He said, and tell them I'm back. Tell them I'm going up. What I like about him going up is that it fulfills another prophecy that says, because he goes up, we go up too. That's why we sang that song about going up yonder. That's another one that used to shake up the church. And we sang that song with anticipation that it shall come to pass. Sandra, what I've learned is some folk can't sing some song because some folk know that song ain't going to work. Jesus said, go get the boys and tell them. And so he gives us three things, and you can go on about your business. First of all, he gives us a risen presence. Yeah, I like that, because it reminds us now that the Lord is alive. Amen. Amen. You can't leave him in the tomb. Amen. You got to get him out of the tomb. You can't leave him there. You can't worship a dead God. No, he don't want that. He said, you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. You need to understand who I am. And so there is that verse. If you go down to verse 18, we're setting up now to go home. Mary says, I have seen the Lord. I will tell you now that she saw him alive. Yeah, she didn't see him dead. She didn't see him passed out. She didn't see him still stretched out. She saw him alive. She found the brothers and told them what he said. And she said, listen, this is our new message, that we'll go and tell the world that Jesus is alive. What does his life bring to us? Well, it brings us the promise of passage. What are you saying, Reverend? I'm saying that when we die, just like he got through, we're going to get through too. Yeah, his death opened up the passageway so that the Bible, when Paul writes to the church in Corinth and declared that the dead in Christ shall rise, that's why he wrote it. Paul said, listen, there's a lot of things I've known in my life. He said, but there's one thing I really want to know. He said, that is the power of resurrection. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, some of y'all don't know how to get happy. You gonna die. Yeah. We gonna die. Yeah. But how many know we ain't gonna stay dead? Yeah. Amen. We're gonna get the power of passage because the Lord, David put it this way, the Lord is my shepherd. What do shepherds do? Guide sheep. And the Lord said this, the way I'm going, you get to go too. How about that, y'all? He said, listen, my resurrection gives you passage. Second thing it gives us is permanent placement. I like this one, Dr. Dixon, because the Bible says when we get there, it is for all eternity. Let me see if I can help some of y'all who have arrived and got put out. Any of y'all ever got there and couldn't stay there? Y'all don't want to say nothing now, huh? Yeah, you know, you thought you had arrived. You thought you landed the coup de grace. You thought you were the creme de la creme. You was a big ball and a shot caller, but you got demoted. You got laid off. You got terminated. And then folks said, I thought you used to. How many of y'all got some Eustas in your life? Yeah, I thought you used to work over. Yeah, well, listen, it always works out in our favor. Because when they say, well, I thought you don't never say they let you. Say, well, I had to let them go. I found me something else. Yeah, you found something else because you had to get something else. But what he gives us is permanent placement. Because the Bible says, we sang that song too. Bible said, when we get there, ain't nobody going to be able to kick me out. Look at them and say, you better not touch me when I get to heaven. I'm going to be in my spot because that's my permanent placement. And from everlasting to everlasting. And the Bible says, for all eternity. The old song, Grandma and them, you sang in their choir, with the senior choir with the bad voices that couldn't be in the mass choir no more. They were singing that song that says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining, y'all ain't talking to me. 10,000 years is a long time. Yeah, 10,000 years is so long that somebody backed up by saying, a day with the Lord is like 1,000. How many know you can't count them? So he said, listen, I will give you permanent placement. But then he said, I'll make you a permanent partner. Bible reminds us that we are co-laborers with God. So how does all of this come to pass? It is because he's alive. And I would to tell you, beloved of God, that you ought to get happy because he's alive. I do know that some of us are not as well off as we'd like to be, but he's alive. Some of us do not drive what we'd love to drive, but he's alive. Some of us cannot move like we used to move, but he's alive. Some of us are no longer at the top of our game, but thank God he's alive. And so I would to tell you, beloved of God, that because he lives, you ought to be able to wave your hand. Because he lives, you ought to be able to lift up your voice. Because he lives, you ought to be able to pat your feet. You ought to be able to show God some sign that you're grateful that he lives. Not because the God of your salvation has given you money in the bank, but simply because the God of your salvation has given you a new lease on life. I wish I had somebody that can tell somebody that the only reason I'm alive is because God washed away my sins. Because God cleaned me up. The old song would say he picked me up and turned me around. And I want to tell somebody that you ought to shout right now because he did not stay in the grave. You ought to shout right now because they saw him when he died. You ought to shout right now that they put those nails in his hand. Shout right now that they put a crown on his head. Shout right now that they pierced him in his side. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no payment for our sins. Shout right now that the Lord hung, bled, and died. But your real shout ought to come right along through here. Because early one Sunday morning, he got up out of that grave. Look at the name and said, early one Sunday morning, he got up out of that grave. I just want to ask one question. Didn't he do it? Didn't he get out of that grave? Didn't he rise one Sunday morning? And he didn't get up empty-handed. The old preacher would say he got up with all power in his hand. Anybody know God's got power? Aren't you glad right now that he rose with power? Look at your name and say, neighbor, it's the power that makes me walk right. Look at another name and say, neighbor, it's the power that makes me talk right. It's the power that makes me love right. It's the power that makes me live right. It's the power that makes me give right. It's the power. And there is no power like the wonder-working power that is the power of Jesus. Anybody know Jesus? Mary's little baby, the rose of Sharon. He got up with power. Anybody want power? There's power in the name. There's power in the hem of his garment. There's power. Can you say power? Say power. Power. Thank God for power. Thank God for Jesus. When he died, he washed away my sins. When he died, look at the name and say, he died. But he didn't stay dead in 3 days. Just like he said. Anybody know he'll do what he said? Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? Just like he said, you can count on Jesus. Can I find somebody that can tell somebody I can count on Jesus? He never breaks a promise. He never lets me down. He won't leave me. He won't deny me. He'll call me his own. Anybody belong to him? Ain't God all right? Aren't you glad? Look at the name and say, neighbor, I've been cast out. I've been rejected. I've been denied. But Jesus called me his own. He picked me up, turned me around. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. He got up. Didn't stay down. He got up. John Cameron Swayze would put it this way. He took a licking, but he kept on ticking. He got up. And he didn't get up selfish. He got up as a sacrifice. And because he got up, you can get up. I'm looking around very quickly. I can count. I can count real good. I see about six people that done got up. I'm just saying, if he can get up for you, we up to seven now. You ought to be able to get up for him. You ought to be able to rise on your feet and claim victory in Christ Jesus. Because he lives. There's an old run we make down through the field. Talk about the Lord. When they talk about how they put him in a borrowed tomb, seal the deal with the stone, put guards on the tomb in order to make sure Jesus stayed put. Talk about the earthquake and rolling away of the stone. All that in a little run they make down through. Talk about Jesus. But everything changes when the Bible says he got up. Sang that old song, said it was on one Sunday morning that the Lord lifted me. He got up, y'all. And I want to tell you right now on this resurrection day, ain't gonna get him no more. He got it going on now. He told Mary, said, I'm going back to my father. Tell the fellas, tell the church. And I'm going to sit there at the right hand of my father. And I'm going to work things out for you. How many of you know today he's working it out for you? Aren't you glad about it? He said, I'm going to ever intercede on your behalf. Mary said, I've seen him. And he's working it out for us. You know, you got adversaries and accusers. You got antagonists. How many of you just know for sure you got some folk that's against you? Lord said, don't worry about that. He said, you just tell me all about your troubles. I'll fix it for you. God will make it where your enemies can stand right next to you and can't touch you. God will make it where your enemies will set out to hurt you and have to bless you before they know it. He'll turn it around. I know I got some folk in the room right now that can testify that God turned some things around. Things that were not in your favor. He turned it around. He said, I'm going to sit here next to my father for all eternity. And I'm going to work it out for you. So why did he get up? I left myself a little note here. He didn't get up because they said he couldn't. Didn't get up to settle a debt. I mean, a dare. He didn't get up to settle a dispute. Didn't get up to settle a debate. Why did he get up? Pastor,
to deliver us. Amen. Isn't that wonderful about God? Of all the things that he had to deal with, he had us on his mind. He said, I promised my children that I was going to send a deliverer. So he sent his only son. And then his son promised that he'd be faithful to what his daddy told him to do. And so he got up to deliver us. And that's why we can, as the redeemed of the Lord, say so. You're in the room today and you've not been delivered. You're still living outside of the ark of safety. If you cannot testify that Jesus is Lord, you cannot testify that you have joy, unspeakable joy, you ought to come to Jesus. Especially on this day. You know, the old church, as I said back in the day, we used to pack the house. And boy, folk would come down the aisle on what we used to always call Easter Sunday. And you'd have 20, 30 folk come. Y'all remember them days? 20, 30 folk come down the aisle. And Eric, you know, next Sunday, we're down about 12. And then the next Sunday, we're down about 5. Then by the time we get to Mother's Day, they fired up again. Pick up that 15 mowing. And by the time we get around to the 4th of July, and bad phone numbers they gave us and bad address, we can't find them. But we'll do it again. You do know that every Sunday, the reason we do the invitation is because it means that much to God. That invitation keep going forward. He said, until I come. So I want you to know today that no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, what you may have on your agenda to do, he wants to deliver you. He wants to deliver you. That is the resurrection power. That he can save men and women, boys and girls, from their sins. I've come to believe, Reverend Uriel, that sometimes one of the first steps in salvation realization is not just the saving from our sins, but saving from ourselves. Sometimes we got to get over ourselves. And only God can help us with that. And some of you standing here today know that you need Jesus. But you can't get over yourself. You still count yourself unworthy. You're still saying, ain't no need me going up there because I ain't going to stay. Listen, honey. Listen, homeboy. There been a whole lot been through that revolving door. I wish I could get some witnesses that would raise their hand that you've been on that revolving door before. Yeah, the first time I went into church, I didn't stay. Thank God. They let me come back. Amen. Not one time either. Not two times neither. Not three times neither. I'm telling my business, not four times neither. But look at me now.
Yes, sir.
And if God will let me come back. You know why he does that? I'll tell you, Miss Davis, because he said, I know the plans I have for you. Some of us got to get through the revolving door. Anybody ever got in that revolving door? Say to yourself, which way is out? Amen. But God loves you today. So my brother, my sister, my friend, even the stranger, he wants to deliver you today. I know it's time for you to go. I feel it myself. But I will tell you this, and I'll tell you this with no reservation. You can be saved. He wants to make you a permanent partner. Life has its struggles for everybody. Let me show you something very quickly. I want two perfect people. Two is asking too much. I want one perfect person to come down the middle of this aisle. See? Nobody moving. Let me see if I can do it this way. I want one almost perfect that ain't never done nothing wrong. You've been living squeaky clean since the day you came to Jesus. Now come on down the aisle. Nobody coming. See, you too can be saved. I want you to know, beloved of God, that if you walk out of this church today and refuse the salvation, because it is refusing. Anything offered, not accepted, is refusal. Let me show you how it works. Those of you who have a driver's license, raise your hand. You have a driver's license issued by the Commonwealth of Virginia, driver's license, East Bandit State. You do know that if you read the information pertaining to your driver's license, it says that this is a fact, that by holding this driver's license, you submit to taking, if asked, a blood test or breathalyzer. And refusal is grounds for revocation of your driver's license. You know that? Just by holding on to the license, you have ascended. You have consented. It's called implied consent. But if you don't take it, you have to refuse it. That's what we're telling you today. You walk out of here because you know you need salvation and don't. That's refusal. And you revoke your privilege with God. Why would you walk away? Say yes. Say yes. And when you say yes today, it can be yes for the rest of your life. Don't think that if you come to the Lord, I don't know who painted this ugly picture, Brother Eric, of Christians not having fun. No, we have fun. You look like you have fun. Brother Thomas, you have fun. Amen. Sister Ada, yeah, fun. Yeah, yeah. How about here? Brother Deacon Campbell, fun? Yeah. I was going to ask you, Elizabeth, but we don't get along. Somebody near Elizabeth, ask Elizabeth, does she have fun, and tell me what she said. God is joy. Yes. What she said? Did she say she had fun? She trying to be my friend? She, okay, we'll talk about it. But God is joy. Don't leave today with that foolish earthly mentality that the church stuck up and stodgy. Do we look that way to you? We just a motley crew. We got a little everything in here. Amen. You don't believe me? Hang around the parking lot 5 minutes after the service and watch how they let the hair down. You'll be like, that's the same lady we were sitting by in church. Yeah, that's her. Look at homeboy. He done cut loose. Yeah, that's him. But you know what? God don't stop loving us. He don't stop loving us. He still loves us. No matter where we are. So if you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you come very quickly? It's about 15 minutes after 1. It's a good time for you to go home. Good time to go home. If you're here today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need that permanent placement. We need our place in paradise. That was the last thing. That was the shout piece, Lord. I didn't tell him, but that's what it is. He promised the place in paradise because he said that you'll be with me. And so, God, today I want them to know that paradise is not just a possibility, but it's a promise. God, I wish I had time to tell them all I want to tell them, but they need to know, God, today that the first step is on them because he's already done all he's going to do. So, God, in this room today, there may be one, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife. God, would you move them? The devil's trying to plant their feet, God. The devil's trying to convince them that they're not worthy. That they're just going to make a fool and a mess of this thing. But God, would you move them? That young man, that young woman, even a family, God, maybe a family can be saved today. What a beautiful picture and testimony for a whole family to be saved. Father and mother and children. My Lord, what a day this would be. Be marked in history as a great day for the church. Would you save someone today, Lord? Your presence is so powerful. God, let it be so today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that you touch one. Don't let them leave uncovered. They're going to go back out into that cruel, cruel world. You told us in your word that we have an adversary, the devil, and he wants to mess with us, mess with our marriage, mess with our parental skills, show up on our job and accuse the brethren. Show up, Lord, in a way that we can't recognize him because he's a master of disguise. He'll show up in a late bill payment. He'll show up in a flat tire. Show up
in an overheating radiator. Show up. When we boil over a pot of rice, he'll show up, cause us to say things and do things. And then, God, we'll feel so alone and so hurt. But, oh, will you put your arms around us and say, I know. I know, but I got you. You won't let us fall. And even if we fall, you pick us up. We don't have to lay there long, Lord. Sometimes we lay there because we want to, and then complain that nobody helped us. But Lord, you are very present help. All the time, you're faithful. And so, God, we pray this prayer that someone would take the offer of salvation today. And Lord, if none should move today, would you cover us again to such time that there is the next opportunity, and doesn't have to wait for Sunday. Lord, we can pick up the phone and call the church, call the pastor, call a deacon and say, listen, I want to confess Christ. Would you just hear my confession, brother, and tell me the way to go? Put me on the Roman road that I might meet Jesus. Because God, you keep your arms open all the time. Come to Jesus. That's what the songwriter says. That's what the Bible says. The whole of the Bible is a great invitation to come to Jesus. There's one today, Lord. And Lord, in this moment, would you restore us on this Resurrection Sunday? For some of us, Lord, it's been a long time since we had that little talk with you, so restoration is so needful. Would you remind us that you still love us? We're still in the family. Grace and mercy, still our best friends. Please, God, today, that righteousness would rule the day. And so now, God, we thank you as we get ready to turn from this place, but never from your presence. No one came today, Lord, so we'll come and try again soon. But God, I just believe that someone's on the edge. So God, would you sustain them? Would you put a covering over their life that they don't miss the opportunity in the very near future? Now, God, we're going to turn from this place, but never your presence. We're going to our several desired places. Oh, God, walk with us. Keep us from hurt, harm, and danger. And if we should befall such things, we'll look up to you with a steadfast hope, a still will in that which is yours divine. Forgive us of our sins, kind sir. Have mercy. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Listen, before you leave, Reverend Tucker is here today. If you want to